This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
And you can email your questions to nationradio, team1260.com. We have Scott Cullen from TSN coming up in the next hour. And right now, you know, I was thinking about this on Thursday, driving down the road, about the Edmonton Oilers and what they've gotten from the farm over the years. I remember the first farm team that they had in 79-80 was the Houston Apollos of the CHL. Al Rollins, a legendary name, was the coach. And from that team, Mike Toll, Ron Carter, Tom Rolston. The big name was Charlie Huddy, who had was an undrafted free agent. That was the year, I believe, they had like six rounds, so there was a bunch of undrafted free agents. Huddy was one of them, and he played in the minor leagues. And over the years, the Oilers have gotten a lot and sometimes not so much from their farm team. This year, I believe, everybody would have to agree that it was an absolute success. The Barons did have a chaotic season in terms of roster shuffle and still managed to make the playoffs and go deep in the series against a very strong team. So Todd Nelson joined me yesterday on the phone, and we talked a little bit about that. And the first question was that basically the coaching staff, along with Nelson, must be feeling pretty good about the team's success.
Yeah, I think so. I think from our standpoint as a staff, we're happy with what we got done. You know, we thought moving forward, like obviously one of our goals was to make the playoffs, and but then from there, you know, go a bit deeper than we did. But all in all, it was a pretty successful season. You know, we had quite a few guys go up and play up in Edmonton that did a really good job there. You know, Edmonton was so depleted with injuries that they needed bodies, and so like we had to keep the boat floating down here. And you know, like I thought, some of the guys we got coming in did a great job for us and got us into the playoffs. And but other than that, yeah, like I think all in all, it was a pretty successful year.
Was it difficult to get some chemistry when everybody came back down, the Petries and the Hartikainens and the Omarks? Was it difficult to merge that group with the group you already had?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like, you try to do your best with it. But, like, you know, like, going through that grind of the last five games of the season where we had a win four or five, and that was really, like, when we were playing our best, you know, and, like, those guys were still up top. But I think through that stretch, the guys really knew, you know, what it was going to take. And I think when you get, you know, five guys back from up top, even though like you welcome them with open arms, you try to find the right fit. And you know, sometimes it's very difficult to do it within a seven game series to try to get it going. But like we thought we tried to make it fit the best way we could. But there were some chemistry issues. Not that the players weren't trying, they're all trying to play hard, but once again, like, if you can get the right fit right away, it certainly helps. So
one of the things that I looked at as the season wound down and then into the playoffs, because somebody who's followed the Oilers farm teams for decades, really since the Oilers came into being, they really, this year specifically, I can't really name a player who was either a first-year pro or a second-year pro that didn't make a big step forward. And I know a lot of that is coaching, a lot of that is the player. But these guys really did seem to gel and improve as the season went on.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, with all the work that the Oilers are putting into these individual development programs, like, you know, like for each player, I think the program is moving in the right direction, that's for sure. I think, you know, like having like a three-man coaching staff down here certainly helps, because we have more quality time to work with the players through video and also like on ice teaching as well. So I think like the model's, you know, like a great model right now, and I think the players benefited from that. But also, you know, like with the way that the program works, it holds the players accountable. So the players have to take it upon themselves to get better as well. So, you know, like just moving forward, I think it's like a step in the right direction.
When you are a coach and the team comes out and adds a player like Colton Tubert, who is somewhat similar in style to Alex Plante, did that give you any difficulty in terms of setting up the pairings and how you would play them? Because they're similar players, right?
Yeah, they are pretty similar. I think, you know, like we try to, you know, get the right fit once again, and we had Montgomery and Tubert playing together, and both those guys got hurt in the playoffs, and you know, I thought, you know, like going down, like just looking back on it, that our team really missed Tubert the last few games. So, you know, like he's a big physical presence out there, and you know, Hamilton is looking over their shoulders every time he is on the ice, and you know, but like I think, you know, like with defense pairings, you can find out pretty quickly if they're gelling together or not. Like with lines, it's a bit different because you have just like one more body to work with. But it wasn't overly difficult. It was just more or less which guys are going to play in the special teams and go from there.
Is Tuber the kind of guy, like you mentioned about, you know, they're looking over the shoulder. Is he like a throwback, not a Steve Durbano, but an intimidator?
Yeah, I think, you know, he like he crushed a guy in game three and all of a sudden like, kind of put Hamilton back on their heels a bit. And, like, you know, like it's too bad that he got hurt because he was having a great playoff series for us. But, yeah, he is kind of a throwback player. He finishes his checks hard. He just makes guys pay the price in front of that and also in the corners.
Now, at the end of the year, I imagine you have meetings where you kind of go over every player and send back reports or at least discuss this player, where he is, and what kind of progress he made. Have you done that process now?
Yeah, we did that on Wednesday. We had our ACE meetings. We talked to every one of the players. And from there, also, Billy Morris is down here. He handles the individual development program. So it's like to get a double dose of, you know, like what I think they have to work on, you know, moving forward to next year, you know, like the same stuff. Like make sure you put a good summer in by working out. And then also, when they go talk to Billy, they kind of like refine it a bit and talk about some of them like the more detailed things they have to work on. So I think that, you know, like from the players leaving here, they have a good idea of what they have to do in the summertime to help them just give themselves a good chance to try to make the Oilers next year.
Do you know, I'm not asking for specific names, but do you know in your heart of hearts when you're doing that exit meeting, guys that you're going to have back and guys that you may never see again?
Yeah, we do. You know, like there's going to be a turnover, like there always is. Some players want to explore different opportunities and go elsewhere. You know, and then there's also like our decisions of, you know, like we have players coming up that are younger and we have to try to make room for them as well. So sometimes it is a kind of, you know, like a pretty difficult thing. But, you know, like it's a situation where, you know, like also in those meetings, like we have feedback from the players too. Like, you know, like we want to get some feedback on how they were treated here. And all in all, I thought the meetings went very well. It was very positive.
When you look at this team, and one of the things that I noticed from Springfield to Oklahoma City from the organizational point of view was the importance of those AHL veterans like Giroux or Jake Taylor, not necessarily those names, but how important is it to have two or three of those guys who really can help the newer players adjust and maybe take some of the heat off in terms of matchups?
Well, I think it's vital. You know, like you have to have one of those, or like have a good group of veteran players. Like the league is very young. A lot of these players are just trying to figure things out on their own. Like even away from the rink, like just like cooking for themselves and just trying to, you know, like adjust to the lifestyle. And so I think it's very important. And that was one of the things that was mentioned by a lot of the younger guys, that, you know, like how it was nice to have some veteran guys around here just to show them the ropes. And you know, I thought our veteran guys did a really good job with our young guys.
Hartikainen, Omark, and Petrie really came up and they really impressed. Would you say that was the cream of the crop in terms of the AHL to NHL step, or were there anybody else that you would include in that group?
No, I think that you hit it dead on. Like those guys are, you know, like we can classify them as blue chip prospects. Those are guys that like really developed well and also like made an impact up top. And you know, moving forward to next year, like we had a lot of other guys that went up there that did a good job. You know, but like right now, it all depends on what kind of summers they put in. Like, but they have to come to camp ready to go, like just ready to go. They have to you know, have the right approach. And if those players do get sent back to us next year, obviously like they're gonna have to prove themselves again. But I think those three guys are you know, like definitely knocking on the door to stay up there for the whole year.
Just a few names here of guys who were signed and sent to you late in the season. I want to get your impressions, beginning with Hunter Tremblay.
Played very well for us. You know, like didn't know much about him, but everybody liked the way he played. I could tell from his first practice that he was going to be a guy that I'd want to have in the lineup in the playoffs. And you know, he does everything really well. Like he plays his position well. I can use him at power play or penalty killing. So like he was a nice addition. So he played very well for us. You know, he scored a big goal for us at home. And you know, like he's a guy moving forward that, you know, like it's going to be pretty new to him going to an NHL camp, you know, so it's a situation where, you know, he has to, you know, like put a good summer in, like make sure he's in great shape, and looking forward to working with him next year.
What about Brandon Davidson?
You know what? He played just the one game in the playoffs. But, like, he kept things simple. And also, like, you know, offensively, he had a pretty good knack of getting pucks through. I thought he, you know, played very well. You know, he kept it simple out there and was very efficient.
And final question on Tanner House.
Tanner House, he's a guy that he came to us and like, he prides himself in a shutdown role. But also, like, when he was with us during that stretch, he made some great plays and had some solid contributions offensively for us. Like, you know, he's a very well-rounded player where he can play in both ends of the rink. And, you know, once again, like having these two young guys that were added to us, is, you know, it's a very positive thing moving forward.
The owners have signed several picks in the last few weeks. Anton Lander just the other day, Curtis Hamilton, Martin Marinson. Do you get scouting reports on those players or film, or do you just see them in the fall?
No, like we get reports on them. You know, like we're all pretty good at communicating with each other. We know, you know, like we can talk to the scouts. We can talk to management about these certain players. So we have a pretty good idea, like moving forward to training camp. Now it's just a matter of where do they fit within the organization. If they, you know, if it's a guy that might get an opportunity to play up top, or is he going to be with us, or like even in Stockton? Like we want to make sure that we have good depth in all three organizations. And so like we're starting to see like a lot of these younger guys come in here and doing a great job. So, you know, it's like we definitely know what we're getting. We just, you know, have to do our homework and talk to our scouts. And, like, you know, like the organization is very forthright in, you know, giving us that information.
And for the coach at the end of the year, I'm sure there's a little bit of golf and a little bit of time with the family. Do you take off on vacation now, or are there still more things to do with the Barons?
No, actually, we just finished up yesterday with the Barons part of it, where we had a little golf outing and we had a barbecue at my house. And so a lot of players are on their move back home. They want to get back. Some guys have, you know, buddies' weddings that they have to go to and stuff like that. So right now I'm just going to kick back and try to enjoy some time off. I don't plan on going anywhere on vacation. You know, like I've been flirting with going deep sea fishing, but other than that, I'm just going to hang out and just try to relax here.
That's a pretty nice part of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, like it really is. You know, we all got sunburned yesterday. It was 75 degrees, and it's, you know, like it's a sunny day, and it was breezy, and I think everybody got burnt. Well, like I know I did anyways, but yeah, like it's a fun part. You know, the people here are great, and you know, like the positive thing is I talked to all the players with their exit meetings, and like the one thing that was common, they really enjoyed playing here in Oklahoma City, which is a good thing to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd, thanks so much for this. You have a great day.
Great, thanks. Take care.
Oklahoma City Barons head coach in a very successful year. The team made the playoffs despite all kinds of chaos with regard to call-ups. And as he mentioned in the interview, Hartikainen, Omark, and Petrie, the blue chippers, definitely came through and they could play at that level. And I think that gives us a little insight into what we might expect from Anton Lander, who's coming over from Sweden after playing in the SEL for several years. Justin, you know, Hartikainen did very quickly, as did Omark and Petrie. So it's going to be an interesting year next year. But the one thing that the other thing that I really liked was that the Oilers do have some communication going on with regard to Lander or Hamilton or Marinson. And that's a key, too, because the coach is already thinking about next year and how he's going to plug them in, and possibly someone like Abney might appear in Stockton to start the year. And it looks as though the Edmonton Oilers are approaching this. If you can remember back to when they didn't have their own team, they farmed some people off to Iowa or to Hamilton, and the AHL Oilers were maybe in three or four different cities at one time. This is a much better way to go, and I think Todd Nelson is a big part of it. Very successful year for a very fine young coach. So, interesting, and really enjoyed talking to him over the last little while. This is Nation Radio on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. We're live at the Pint downtown, Jasper and 109th. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk to Scott Cullen from TSN, who uses advanced stats, had a great article on the Edmonton Oilers and their summer. We'll talk about that, and also about Anton Lander and his signing, and what it might mean to the Edmonton Oilers in 2011-12. Coming up, your emails.